Blog Talk Radio.
Listening to Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk with your host, Dr. Tanisha Guy, and her co-hosts, Steve J. and marriage and family therapist expert, Fatima. This show is not intended to be therapy, but the sole purpose is encourage dialogue across ages, gender, religious backgrounds, ethnicity, and sexual orientation. Feel free to join in the discussion. We want to hear what you think. And don't forget to tell friends about Dr. Guy Gumbo Talk.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk. I am so excited about this topic. I really want to jump into it this Sunday. But I want to say thank you to everyone that sent me birthday wishes this past week. I so appreciate it, and especially since I forgot my own birthday, I really do appreciate it for reminding me about that. So shout out to everybody that sent me love for my birthday. So I am Dr. Tanisha Guy, and today we will be talking with two of our guests who we will introduce shortly. But our topic today is, are women or men seen as the prize in a relationship? So I'm looking forward to that.
Hello, I am Fatima Luan Muse, marriage and family therapist and red velvet cake enthusiast.
And I am your local social scientist, Steve J, only fan subscriber, you know, as well as a couple other things I probably shouldn't tell you about as well, studying human nature.
Yes, indeed. So we do have two guests joining us today to chime in on our discussion. And so our first guest, I am so excited to bring her on the show because I've been trying to get her on for a while, but she is a very busy woman. So I would like to introduce you guys to soon-to-be Dr. Megan Pickens, licensed professional counselor supervisor.
Hey, everybody. I am Megan. I'm in private practice out here in Arlington, Texas. I specialize in work with couples and those that are in relationships with high-achieving Black women. Thanks for having me, Tanisha.
Thank you. And your dissertation topic, we talked about that on the Renee Greer's Friday Night Wind Down. And give us the title of that.
It's a long title, but it is the impact. I'm trying to even remember the long title. It's the impact of the intervention seeding ideas on high-achieving Black women who have experienced emotionally abusive relationships.
Okay, so I'm going to assume that there is probably some of your research that might seep into our conversation today related to your dissertation topic. So I'm really looking forward to that. And bringing back on the show, last time it got a little spicy, and I am so glad he agreed to come back today. We have Corey Hughes, author, philanthropist, a.k.a. Corey, hey, welcome back to the show.
Well, it's so good to be back. I am the love doctor of the universe. I specialize in helping aliens, humans, and animals love one another. And so I'm sure you're going to have either alien listening or on the show, human or an animal, and I think that I can help them in the area of love. I'm a little concerned because you didn't tell me that Dr. Megan would be on the show as well. So I've just got to go and get my my shield because I'm sure some darts will be coming pretty soon.
I am not. I promise I'm going to be super nice to you today and go on just because you think I'm mean. I'm not. It's just fun to give you a hard time.
Okay. Well, I'm excited to be here.
Oh, go ahead, Corey.
No, I was just saying I'm excited to be here. That's all. That's it.
All right. So we're going to go ahead and get right into this topic. How this topic came about, Steve actually came across this article, and it was posted, law graduate goes viral with post about black women, I'm the prize now. So, Steve, can you tell us a little bit about this article to kind of start us off?
Sure. Well, basically, there's a gentleman who is graduating from Southern Law School, historically black college, their law program. He's identified himself as being under 30 and having 2 degrees, which places him in a very rare minority, thus him expressing that he is the prize for women.
So this video or his post went viral, and instead of him getting the warm response that I think he thought he was going to get, he got the total opposite. So let's start off with his post said, I'm the prize now. Why do you guys think that triggered so many negative responses from people?
Well, as a black male being expressive, sometimes that's misinterpreted as arrogance, and you know we can't have these black men out here, you know, being unchecked. So definitely the powers that be needed to assert themselves to put him in his place because his being so assertive was making them highly uncomfortable and upsetting the apple cart in their brains.
Okay. Megan, I think you were getting ready to say something.
I wasn't. I think that I can see where he was going with it, but I think he took it too far, and so it crossed over into arrogance. There's one thing with celebrating an accomplishment, but then there's another to list all the things that he listed. He just changed the tone of what he started off with.
Okay. Fatima, what are your thoughts about what triggered so many negative responses?
I don't think that it's necessarily a male or female thing in terms of nobody likes an arrogant black man. I think people just don't like arrogance, period. And that's not exclusive to a specific gender. And I think I agree that I understand where he was going, but it ended up going someplace that really just came off kind of unattractive. And I think that I think that sometimes in these conversations, and if we're particularly talking about men, since this was a guy who posted this, it's almost like asking for credit for something you're supposed to do. You know, it's like when men expect kudos for watching kids. You know, so, okay, you graduated without having any children and 2 degrees and you haven't been to jail. That's some shit you're supposed to do. So, I don't necessarily feel like that's something that we extra
applause for. Like, just regular applause. Good job.
Okay. All right.
Corey, what are your thoughts? Why do you think his post received so many negative responses?
Well, you know, I have to agree with Steve. And it may never happen again in life, but I will partially agree with what Dr. Fatima said. I don't necessarily think it is about a black man or a black woman, white man or white woman on the surface. I think as we go deeper, we'll understand that there is an issue here. But as you were talking, I thought about John 14 and 6, when Jesus Christ finally said, "I am the truth, the way, and I am the light." Shortly after he said that, he found his ass on the cross. June 14th, which is kind of some symmetry with John 14 to June 14th, LeBron James made a declaration and said, "I'm the best player in the world." Mm-hmm. There is a fundamental problem that people have with people who know who they are. People have it's okay for me to say that Steve is intelligent, articulate, he's brilliant, he's amazing. It would be okay for me to say that, but the moment he starts declaring that to himself, it just rubs people the wrong way for some reason. And even though, as we dig into this topic a little bit deeper, I agree statistically, there was nothing he said that was wrong. I just think that people have a problem with people who know who they are, and it comes across as arrogant, and it's intolerable at times.
Okay, so the article or the information that he posted wasn't necessarily the issue. It was that it came off as being arrogant, whether you're male or female. If you posted, it would have just come off as someone being arrogant. So him making the post saying "I'm the prize," clearly this isn't a term that he just made up. We have heard people reference this term statement "I'm the prize" before. Steve and I have gone back and forth about this statement before. And so when we talk about it in terms of individuals and their dating, right, if this is a perception that one has that I am the prize, whether it's male or female, does that impact how they date, who they date, and anything following after that in their relationship? And this is open to anybody.
I personally just don't particularly like the language in general, like the prize, who's the prize. I think that I'm a prize, but I would hope that if you're in a relationship with someone, that both of you are a prize, that you are a prize to your partner. So I don't particularly care for the notion that there's one prize and then the other person is what, just lucky to get them.
I agree with that.
can I go, Dr. Guy?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I'm going to say this by just giving just a snapshot of maybe a conversation I've had with a few people in my past experiences. I remember this may have been 8-9 years ago. I was dating this young lady, and she was extremely accomplished. She would have probably fit into Dr. Megan's study. Because mm-hmm. she was a high achieving woman. She had, accomplished. She was an engineer, done very well for herself, making probably $150,000 to $200,000 a year. And we had this conversation, Dr. Guy, and I will never forget this conversation because I was told that I was a royal butthole for saying this, but I just thought, it needed to be said. She came to me and she said, "Corey, don't treat me like I'm just some average woman." Which exposed her elitist mentality. "Don't treat me like I'm some average woman. Don't treat me like I'm just some regular chick. I'm extraordinary, and I think you should treat me like that." Well, because I'm quite controversial and I have a tendency to be the butthole, I had to remind her that all of the women that I've dated in the past were extraordinary, so she was ordinary to me. And it didn't really sit well with her. And the reason it didn't sit well is because I wasn't necessarily impressed by her high achieving, by her success, by transitioning to the topic today, her believing that she was the prize. I think at the end of the day, if you're going to date somebody, you should believe that that person, that you should feel like you're a prize, and they should feel like they're a prize, and you treat each other accordingly. But let's not, mm-hmm. I think the reason I enjoy this topic is because that there are some people that walk around that feel like their stuff doesn't stink and you should bow down. And it is a blessing and an honor just to be in their presence and to date them. And I think some of that also from a female perspective has to do with the church as well. He that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtain favor from the Lord. It is almost to indicate that I am not favored until I find this woman. And I get it. But I also believe that that men are prizes as well. And so I just thought I'd share that and ruffle a couple of feathers.
That's a good example, Corey. I know Steve is over there chiming to say something. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, in economics, we have what's called a replacement cost. And in times like this, COVID-19, where everybody is not at their full economic power, those people that used to eat beef downgrade to chicken. Those people that can't afford the chicken downgrade to pork. So I think what we're talking about in the context of a prize is who is the most easily replaced. And by and large part, because of the numbers of women on the planet, the numbers of women who are educated in comparison to men, by and large part, it's easier to replace the female in a relationship more often than not than the male. Not saying that's something that exclusively happens, but when we talk about the criteria and the gauntlet that most men have to run through to get the approval of the woman, it is generally not the same standards that men have. So because women have a higher threshold of criteria, then especially as we talk about getting older, it is a lot more difficult to replace the man in the relationship than the woman, by and large.
Okay. All right.
Which leads women to put up with a bunch of shit.
Whoa.
Mom?
Megan? Clarification
yeah.
on that.
I mean, I agree with you, but I think that leads women to have to put up with a lot more shit than men do.
Right, because women are more easily replaceable.
Yes, exactly.
I mean, you
say you're outnumbered by us, but we're, you know, this is why there are side chicks and, you know, there's three men to every woman and all that other BS because we're out.
It's
you
eight.
Say we're outnumbered, but actually
well,
you outnumber
side
us.
Chicks because there are women with lower standards. That doesn't have anything to do with men.
Yeah.
Like, men can't create side chicks. That has to be something that's in somebody else's mental makeup or ethos.
There has to be a willingness, but most women are, I won't say most, several women are happy with a piece of man over no man. And
oh,
that
correct.
Is an advantage
for
men.
Especially that man is a prize.
Well, if we go back to further, as Mr. Corey likes to go, when we talked about how the wars were conducted many millennia ago, they always talked about killing all the men and leaving all the women. It wasn't because those women weren't assimilated into that society and taken on as brides. You know, there are countless stories about how many wives a king would have or, you know, how many wives the Africans would have, as many as they could afford. So, you know, let's not act like monogamy is a fresh, not a fresh concept. It doesn't extend back, you know, further.
Well, I think that the idea behind the monogamy piece is a little bit different than kind of what I heard Megan saying. But what I believe I heard Megan saying is that your statement was that women are replaceable, right? That they can easily be replaced because there are so many women, and there may be, as Corey stated, there may be multiple women that are the prize or that have the qualities of what maybe that one particular woman considered herself to be the prize for, he was saying that there are several women in his past who have presented that same way. So they have all been the prize, which didn't make her, didn't cause her to stand out. And so I guess here's my question. If people didn't like the term that he used, I'm the prize, I can understand that. But how often do people encounter individuals that they might be dating or are even dating that perceive themselves as the prize, and because of that, it dictates their behavior with that person? For example, if you, Steve, you talked about men and side chicks, or you and Megan talked about men and side chicks. So if this guy maybe perceives himself as the prize, is he going to be more likely to engage in having multiple women because he believes I'm the catch, I'm the one that everyone's supposed to be with, so I have the luxury of being with multiple women? Like, are we just turned off by the term, or are we turned off by the behavior that these individuals exhibit?
Well, I think those two separate things.
Oh, go ahead. Oh, go ahead.
So I was going to say, I think those are two separate things. Oh.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Steve, you go. Go ahead. I'm going to go ahead.
I was saying, I think those are two separate things. You can think you're the prize, but if you are in a monogamous mind state, or that is how you have been groomed to engage with women, then you being the prize is not going to change your dealings in how you deal with women. It's just if you have been brought up another way. Like when I was in my career in New Orleans, I was encouraged because I had gotten to a certain place in my life and the stature that I was entitled to multiple women. And that was more something that was introduced to me by the men in that community versus something that I was aware of. So it just depends a lot actually on, you know, your region, your role models, you know, more so than anything else, in my opinion.
Okay.
And yeah, so I wanted to kind of piggyback on what Steve said. I think it's important to know that just because a person has had success and they label themselves as a prize doesn't mean that they automatically have multiple women. But what it could mean, and I'm telling you this from experience, that when you get to a certain place and you've had success, and, you know, when you walk into a room and everybody knows your name, there is, if you're not careful, there is this arrogance that creeps up on you. And it's not that you want multiple women, but it is your tolerance with women becomes extremely small because you subconsciously factor in, like the young man said in his post, it ain't a whole bunch of people that ain't playing in NFL or rapping that's making the type of money I make. I'm sitting at the tables with senators and all of this stuff. I travel, I do X, Y, Z, and you go down this whole gamut of what you have and what you've accomplished, and you look and you realize that it is not a lot of peers, and you also sometimes subconsciously think about the fact that it is 7-1 or whatever the statistic is right now, where Dr. Megan said that's where women have to deal with a lot of BS, is because, you know, you subconsciously you think about that. And yes, when you think that you're the prize, it doesn't mean that you have multiple women, but it could mean that you go through multiple relationships in a small amount of time because you become arrogant in a way because of your accomplishments. So I just wanted to point that out.
Okay. Fatima, what are your thoughts on that?
On which part?
Sorry. It's okay. Corey just mentioned that if an individual, a male in particular, has accomplished the things that he's accomplished, that's a small circle. And because of those things that he's able to have access to now, there may be a level of arrogance that sits in. And with that arrogance, we're talking about him kind of owning the title that I'm the prize, because there aren't a lot of men in that particular circle that possess what he possesses.
Well, I have to double down on what I said earlier. Like, I personally am just not comfortable with someone deeming themselves the prize. Am I a prize? Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with someone feeling like, I am successful, I have achieved these things, I have a lot to offer in my life. And because I am coming to the table with these qualities and with this background, you know, that I want a certain type of person or something like that. But it's a slippery slope. Like, I think that it can, as has been mentioned in this discussion, it can slip into a space of arrogance or intolerance or just not, like, I think that it can end, like, the person can end up becoming someone that nobody wants. I am not of the mindset that some man is better than no man. I always tell women being single is a valid option. And I think that as great as he may be, if his perception is what it seems to be with what he wrote, then I don't consider him the prize. I just kind of think he sounds a little bit like a jerk. And that's not attractive at all. And then, you know, we also have to throw out he failed the bar. So how does that affect that prize, you know, his priziness now? Because now you're just a guy with a law degree, but he's not barred.
Well, there are a lot of lawyers who fail the bar. Let's just go over and address that first.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody doesn't pass the
absolutely.
Bar the first time they take it.
Absolutely. It's very common. Everybody does not pass the bar the first time they're taking it. I am in no way suggesting that he is unique in the fact that he failed the bar. But I'm just saying, to make this declaration, it's kind of shocking, you know, that he's the prize and he's telling us about how he, you know, has all of these qualities and, you know, and he's not here for the women no more because they, you know, they better get ready because he's this and that. But it's like, but then you failed the bar. So I'm just saying, I think that wrinkles a little bit of that prize packaging that he's coming in.
But you know, this is what I find very interesting. If Steve, if you and I were not on this phone call, and it was just, this is an assumption and a generalization before I get my head bit off. But if you and I were not on this phone call, and this wasn't a blog talk show, but it was just Dr. Guy or Dr. Megan or Dr. Fatima, if Dr. Guy was telling Fatima and Megan how she had met this guy, he was making $200,000 a year, he didn't have any kids, no criminal record, he was this, and all of the accolades that young man said about himself, I'm willing to bet that both of the ladies on his phone would be like, girl, I mean, do we got any friends? Where'd you find him at? Because, again, it goes back to if somebody else would have run his resume down and talked about how good he was, it would have been great. Because here's the reality. When we remove the emotionalism from it, he is a prize, right? I mean, he is kind of set apart. You know, when we remove it, he's not common. He's a very uncommon person. You know, and again, I'd like to hear from the ladies on this, that I wonder if Dr. Guy, and I'm not sure what their relationship status was, but let's assume all three of them are single, and one of them called and said, I found this guy that has all of these attributes, and girl, he made me happy, and blah, 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 blah. Would you have that same energy versus him saying it in the post?
So, well, Corey, I'm glad you brought that up, because I do mm-hmm. want to speak to that, because that's what I asked. That's why I asked in the beginning, why do we believe he received so many negative comments? Was it they just didn't like the wording of, you know, he's the prize? Did they just not like the fact that he said those things about himself? Because I will agree with you that if this gentleman was dating one of my friends and she said, oh, he's this, I would say, oh, okay, that sounds good. Like, I wouldn't have knocked him based on what she said. Like, I wouldn't have been like, oh, he sounds real arrogant because he said all that stuff about him. I would have been like, wow, okay, impressive. So that's why I'm asking us on the discussion today, are we just not happy with the words, the prize? Is it semantics? Is it about the wording? Or do we really not see this gentleman as being a prize or the prize?
To quote a wise sage, my mama, known as Sweet Rose of Texas, it is not what you say, it's how you say it. And again, the issue isn't his accomplishments. I celebrate them. So happy to hear that he's built these things. But, you know, I actually, in the same way that Corey talked about, you know, the women that he's dated who are very similar, I've dated several lawyers who are barred. So that unique to me. But so he's not that unique to me. But I do understand how one can feel proud of the accomplishments that they've attained. And there's nothing wrong with talking about them. Not what he said, it's how he said it. So our issue isn't that he's successful. If I was on the phone with Tanisha and she was telling me about this guy that she met, I'd say, oh, he sounds fabulous, just like this guy would sound fabulous had he not come off like a douche. But I agree, Corey. Yeah, I would say, oh, he sounds like a really good catch. It's not because of the things that he's attained. It's because of the delivery. So, you know, like the episode of The Cosby Show, when Cliff does the thing about, you know, cooking the steak and all of this stuff and getting it all well, and then you serve it on a garbage top. Like, for me, that's kind of what it was. It's like, oh, okay, there are all these great things. Oh, and then he had to be a dick. Like, that's what it is for me.
So in 2020, when we all are basically our own media companies and our tweets, our posts are about ourselves and we don't have press releases, you know, is that something that he should not have done to celebrate his accomplishments? I think what at the end of the day, what it boils down to is by him sending this out himself, he's put people on notice that you're going to have to deal with him in a certain way because he's not common. And I think that rubbed some people the wrong way. And I think also in addition, what it did was for those people who may have some reservations about their own self-confidence, it hit a nerve and it caused them to respond appropriately. For the women like Miss Muse, who he's not common according to her, you know, it made them feel a certain type of way as well. So, you know, I think all three of those factors combined led us up until the point where we are with this gentleman. You know, for those women who have dated people who are uncommon like him, they don't really care about him. For the women who have some reservations about competing or some internal issues about their self-confidence, maybe they went to law school and flunked out, they don't like him. And then, you know, for those people who are just offended by him for having the nerve to say it himself and putting you on notice that he's going to be a force and you're going to have to deal with him appropriately, that is another pocket. So I don't think it's one thing in particular. I think it's a combination of multiple things.
Let's just be honest. Mm-hmm. Let's just be honest amongst men. It was an arrogant as hell post, right? Let's just keep it a buck, right? It was extremely arrogant. And what you're saying, Steve, is so accurate that he offended so many different groups because he attacked, you know, baby daddies. A person reading it could have felt like he was elevating himself over people that have criminal records or that don't have college degrees or that have children out of wedlock. And so he started going down. So I'm sure he got anger that came from both men and women on this particular post. Mm-hmm. But again, like I said, if we remove the emotionalism, show me the lie. I mean, it's just the truth. The brother is, right. He's different. Show me the lie. Everything he said is accurate. Now, I had kids out of wedlock, but I was still successful. So, I mean, if it hadn't been introduced to me in the manner that it was introduced, then I probably could have read that and got a little offended too. Like, hold on, bro. No, keep on living. You know, you don't know you the prize. You the prize today, but will you be a prize in 10 years? We don't know that. But, again, I read it, and I didn't really see no lie in it. It didn't go down easy, but it's the truth. And
so that's what I'm saying. When we have positions where black men are being assertive or borderline arrogant, you know, society as a whole tries to push that person back and be like, hey, wait a minute, what you doing? Like, in some of my research, what I did find out is in your larger metropolitan areas in America, for every 93 black men with a full-time job in San Diego, there are 167 women. Seattle, 139.
Wow.
Portland, 151. Actually, Killeen, Texas, 130. So for those women, they're in a position where there is a slight advantage, you know, less of an advantage because of it being so many of them for the men to choose from. And even in the bottom of your smaller metropolitan areas, my hometown, Florence, South Carolina, for every 100 black women who works full time, there are 77 black men. Tallahassee, Florida, 77 as well. Mobile, Alabama, 76. Greenville, North Carolina, 75. And Monroe, Louisiana, 71. So what I keep going back to is it's not about how you feel. It's not about what's said. It's what the actual numbers are and, you know, how you can look at, you know, your dating style and how replaceable you are. You know, when our grandparents were getting together, everybody dated within, you know, a 5 to 20 mile radius. You know, now that's not the case. So, you know, if you're willing to date outside of your race or someone outside of the country, you know, you have to factor in all of those things. When we even just talking about trying to find someone, you know, from a numerical standpoint. And I think that's something that is overlooked by a lot of women who have been conditioned that they're deprived. And I think that's something else that this article has highlighted is he says, I'm the prize now, which would indicate that the assumption previously was that women were the prize. So I think it's also that we are attacking him for attempting not only to be arrogant enough to say the things he said about himself, but being arrogant enough to try to shift the paradigm of our thinking of women as the prize previously.
Right on.
Some of you guys have reached out to me and you're looking for the article that we're referring to. So if you're listening to us online, I posted a link of the article on our page. And so you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Nisha2 if you're interested in reading the actual article that we are referring to. Steve,
what about that telephone number? We hadn't had any calls yet. I think we might have forgot to give the callers the number. I know somebody wants to call in and give me a piece of their mind by now.
You're right. If you guys want to join in our discussion, if you have a comment or concern about our men or women seen as the prize in a relationship, our call-in number is 914-205-5902. And we're definitely open to hear what your thoughts are. But, Steve, I figured you wasn't going to let this show end without bringing up that statement you just made, that women have been conditioned to believe that they are the prize. And he was just making an attempt at responding back to that when he stated, now I'm the prize. So your belief is that women are conditioned to believe that they're the prize? And if
yes.
So.
Oh, definitely.
Exactly.
Yeah, your mama tell you you're special, don't give your cookies to nobody, all types of stuff. But that's what your mama's supposed to do, you know. But when you get out here in the real world, and as we've looked at the numbers, you know, you may not be as special as you think you are. Just like Ms. Muse has said, she's dated several members who passed the bar. So this gentleman isn't special to her. So, you know, I've dated doctors, lawyers, princesses, Indian chiefs, delegates, you know, so you may not be special to me.
Oh. Mm. Okay.
So if this
can I speak on that, Dr. Guy?
Yeah, go ahead.
So I would have to agree that, again, I took an entity of the church. I mean, even in the church world, you know, women are taught either directly, depending on how aggressive the pastor is, or indirectly, that they are the prize. I quoted the scripture earlier, you know, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. It would suggest that, you know, depending on how you eisegeted this particular text, that the good that came in his life came because he got her. And he got another level of favor in his life because of her. So now, depending on how mature or arrogant she is, she will remind him that this favor you got, only you only got it because of me. So I'm the prize. And so I think that scripture has been taught inaccurately throughout the time. But, again, this is not a Bible study. But I think, yes. And if I'm honest, I'm a father. I teach my daughters that they're a prize. But I also try to teach them balance, that you're not the prize, but you are, as Fatima said, a prize. And I think that's important.
So it's not about the concept. Are we discussing a concept that we have an issue with, like the prize versus a prize? Because I would agree with you, Corey, that if you're raising a child, male or female, you do want them to believe that they are special, regardless of anybody else believes that he says special or that they are the prize, then isn't that something that you want them to believe in? And I think it's important to have balance. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that parents should be creating future, you know, arrogant, conceited adults, but it is important to instill in your child their worth. So do we have an issue with just the wording of someone saying the prize? It's better, you guys would receive it better if this person just said, I am a prize. Would there be less controversy if it was written that way? And would people have responded the same way if this was a woman making this post? Would they still be outraged?
I would have received it differently if he said a prize. If he said a prize, I wouldn't have been as irritated by it. However, I think he should have stopped like in that first paragraph, because when he started listing all things off, and somebody said it earlier about him appearing to say that he was better than other people, then that still would have drawn some kind of reaction out of me. Because for me, I am not money driven. So some people can't have enough money to get me to be with them because of who they are as a person. And so for me, that doesn't have a lot of weight. If they are, as Fatima said, a dick, they could be a millionaire, and I would not want them.
Hey, Dr. Guy, one thing I love about Dr. Megan is I love the balance, and I'm so glad she said that, because I was thinking that it also depends on what your value system is. So he's a prize. Mm-hmm. You're a prize because you got money. Okay, well, money doesn't mean anything to me, so that means you're not a prize. You can have all the money in the world, but if you're a butthole, if you don't treat me right, if you don't respect me, if you don't honor me, then your money means nothing. And so I think also it's about a value system, and it goes back to what we talked about on Wind Down, what we talked about this past week. Unfortunately, in the black community, we have put so much value on accomplishments, on how much money you make, how many degrees you got, when ultimately, when a pandemic hits this world and all of it is shut down, none of that really matters. And so, that is not to reduce your accomplishment at all. But I think this season has really showed us how to recalibrate our value system and figure out what really matters. It's not about the clothes you wear. It's not about how much money you got. And so, again, I thank you so much for sharing it, because that was my thoughts about the value system. Because, you know, when you talk about a prize, it has to be something that somebody really wants. And if, you know, I'm not impressed by your law degree, because you could have a great law degree, but you can't balance a checkbook. So you're really not a prize. But anyway, I'll go ahead.
I want to jump in real quick and comment on what you asked. So if a woman posted it, it would just depend on how attractive she was. It's just the bottom line. You know, because to us, and I've always said this, degrees, sororities, all those things, those are how women compete. When I walk into a room with a woman and Corey sees me, he wants to know how well does she treat me and how attractive do we find her collectively as men. So, you know, I can walk in with, you know, an unattractive woman who's got all the degrees, but at the core, it's more or less, well, how does she treat you? If he's happy, then fine. Corey may not be jealous of me because she's not as attractive, but if she treats me well, he's not going to have a problem with it. But if she's highly attractive and he treats me well, that's going to intrigue him more than any degree she has, any sorority, any letter or recommendation she's got, any key to any city. So, you know, right, as men, it's really going to boil down to just the attractiveness of the woman. And then from that, we will determine if you are a prize or a liability.
And just if I could just 10 seconds, I'll say, Steve, and this may ruffle some feathers, but if I seen a woman post something like that, my first thought would be, yeah, she'll be single at 50 until she humble herself.
Well, definitely, because what you have really highlighted is those high-achieving men, because they're high-achieving, have little tolerance for those things that are exhibited throughout that post. Like, you know, what I think is interesting is, you know, we talk about couples and relationships, but, you know, when you are that high-achieving man, you are more looking for a partner who may not necessarily be in the same place as you, but can be more of a compliment than you. And I think that's something that is often lost with some of our female counterparts. They feel as though because they are as educated or as intelligent that I should want them more than someone who might be a better match than them. You know, for every Batman, there needs to be a Robin. You know, you can't have two Batmans. So,
speak the truth,
you know,
Steve.
If I'm coming home and I got to, you know, slay the dragon outside my castle and come in and they got one in there too that I got to wrestle with, then I'm more prone, you know, to get rid of the dragon and find me more of a milkmaid or something, you know, something that can be more palatable to me. So I think, you know, that's one of the things, and Dr. Guy and Ms. Muse, I think we always disagree about this. Generally speaking, the more educated women become, the more masculine they tend to be, in my experience.
What? Okay. Okay.
Wow. Where did you get that from?
But you know what,
my,
Steve? I agree with
my
you, man.
Experience.
Steve, I agree with you, man. I agree with you, man. And I'll just say this. You know, in my past, I dated. Okay, I'm going to be specific. I'm going to be specific. And this may ruffle some feathers, but I'm going to be specific. One of the last people that I dated was a therapist, had a PhD, and was very arrogant about the dissertation and becoming a doctor. And it was almost like if I dated somebody in the past, here it is. Here's specifics. Well, you ain't never dated a woman like me. And I had to say, well, actually I have. And I'm maybe not a person with a doctorate, but I would rather have a woman that don't have initials behind her name, that knows how to treat me, and that offers a safe place and a soft place and doesn't have this arrogancy. And I understand that I've never been a woman in this world going to school, fighting to get a degree. So I have compassion and empathy for that. But what I don't have compassion and empathy for is arrogance and somebody that looks down upon somebody because they don't have or have not accomplished what you've accomplished. Because I know a bunch of millionaires that don't have degrees. I know a bunch of people that are extremely successful that don't have degrees. And I know a bunch of successful men, as Steve said, and I know it's not popular for the women that are listening, but I know a lot of successful men that would prefer to deal with a woman that has more grace than she does degrees on her walls.
So this is probably going to sound like I'm coming from left field when I say this, and my listeners are probably going to be shocked. But I agree with Steve's statement that the more degrees we receive as women, I do think that we develop more masculine tendencies, and I don't even know if that's the right word for it. So I'm only going to speak for myself personally and my personal experience. And that is, I think as a woman, when you have to go through the hoops that, you know, men go through to accomplish what you accomplish, you have to develop this thick skin. And it's not because you want to, but you have to develop that in order for you to accomplish the things that you want to accomplish. And so because we live in a misogynistic society, which we know is the reality, if a woman does the same thing that a man does, he might be perceived as a go-getter and assertive. If a woman does that, she's called the B word and she's considered aggressive and she acts like a man. So I agree with Steve because in my own personal experience, I was that person who Steve is talking about, the example Corey just gave, that once I finished my doctorate, like my head was the size of the sun. Like it was huge. And it wasn't like it wasn't a conscious behavior that I was aware of. My head was that big because I felt like they beat my behind in my program. And they beat my behind at my place of employment, and that I had to work three times as hard to get the degree. So I was so excited in my own accomplishments because I knew what I went through. Mind you, nobody else might have known that, but I'm sure I came off as this cocky, she know it all, she thinks she all that type of person because I was so proud in my accomplishments. Now, I'm hoping that I did not stay in that place long because of self-awareness. I don't think I ever, like, saw myself better than people, but I do believe that my interactions with men was probably on the more aggressive side than they are today, and that my thinking wasn't, oh, I'm better than everybody. My thinking was, I have arrived where I want to be, and I want you to acknowledge that I've arrived there. So that may have came off as arrogant, cocky, whatever whatever you want to call it. But I do think that we have to get to a place of awareness that, oh my, am I giving this off to people? Because maybe we don't know that we're giving this off to people, and that's how we're being received. And I didn't know that at the time until people like Steve and some other folks checked me to make me be like, oh, okay, let me look at this. So I agree with you, Steve, that that can happen, not that it happens to all women, but I do think that that was my personal experience.
Well, yeah, I think that, you know, I've touched on before, in the Eastern systems, education is considered a masculine discipline and creativity is considered a feminine discipline. So not saying that, you know, we can't have a good mix of both or men can't be creative, you know, but just overall, you know, because when you are going through that gauntlet to get those degrees, you are being forced to be highly logical, and that permeates over into the rest of your life. So you start to deal with men how you deal with your career. And you may not notice it at first, but, you know, it turns into, you know, you want a lot of explanation and why is this, and I think my idea is better, and, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. It just needs to be presented in a way that isn't construed as being disrespectful, and I think that's something that is lost, because I think the professors and your higher-ups are very disrespectful to the students. So once you run that gauntlet and you feel as though you're empowered to act like your professors acted with you, with who you may be dating, and when it's someone who is of a ilk of a higher knowledge of himself, that's not something that he's going to tolerate for long.
Which kind of feeds back into the conversation we had on Friday about the high achieving. And I wanted to make sure that I was very clear. My message to that is that it is not always that a man is necessarily intimidated. So as Dr. Megan says, some women, you know, through study, you know, and some men actually admit that. But I don't want to skate over the fact that sometimes it is just the presentation. And it goes back to what we talked about today. I think his presentation was rigid, even though it was factual. I think it was rigid, even though me, you know, hypothetically dating Dr. Megan, she may have better ideas and better thought processes because she's, you know, been educated to think through things. But it's about presentation. It's about how you make a person feel. And I think ultimately what I said from the beginning of the show was that him saying that, Jesus saying, I'm the truth, the way, and the life, LeBron James saying, I'm the best player on the planet, it doesn't make people feel, especially somebody that's already dealing with insecurity, it doesn't make them feel warm and fuzzy on the inside, and so therefore they'll begin to attack that.
Definitely.
I think it's important to point out, too, that I think that also the women or the men, whoever, may not be coming off of that, but sometimes it is the perception of the other person. So if they're already insecure and somebody they're with obtains a degree, then they may change their behavior versus the person who actually obtained the degree because they feel some kind of way about how their place in the relationship.
Facts.
Yeah, how's it possible? I think also let's not get lost on for as many attacks as this young gentleman got. I'm sure he got way farther DMs than we are even acknowledging as well. Like, I think because, you know, this subject expanded so far between different groups from his group, Generation X, why baby boomers, you know, we all had a feeling about it, but it really wasn't for us. If it was for those women his age that he's the prize for. And I think that he probably was very effective.
That's true. I'll agree with that.
Probably.
Steve, one of our listeners says, never have I said I agree with Steve, but on his last point, he is on point. Your reference about women being being more masculine, the higher level degrees that they obtain.
Hey, man, you know, it's nothing to be ashamed about to come on over here, man. I got plenty of room, man. We got a seat full of bleachers. You know, we always accepting everybody. So, you know, come on over here. It's real comfortable. I got nice plush seats.
Hey, Steve, I want to come over there with you, bro.
Hey, man, come on, man. You're welcome. You know, we don't turn nobody back, man. We just like the church. Come as you are.
But can I say something?
I don't like the wording masculine. I think that's what bothers me about what you're saying more so than what you're saying. Because I can kind of see how, as I have gotten older and had experiences and, you know, far better able to take care of myself, that I will take less crap off of people. And so, but I don't consider that a masculine tendency. I just think that is just not taking crap off of people. I don't know why that is seen as masculine. Or the fact that in something that was said Friday, is it seems to me that men feel like if you don't agree with them 100% of the time, then there's some kind of level of disrespect or that's a masculine behavior. Now, I could be wrong about that, but that's what I think.
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think that speaks basically, you know, to your specific pathology with your relationship experience. What I believe Corey and I are talking about is, as men, we can have interactions and disagree and it be respectful. But we can also have interactions that are highly disrespectful, and it can be the difference between one or two words or a look. So what I'm saying is the things that are communicated generally are of the second or the latter than the former. You know, we can
but
be respectful and
disagree.
A lot of men
see, you know, and especially, and this does come from the church, that you get, you know, I'm head of the house, I make the final decision, all of those kind of things. And so when there are some women who have been in relationships that if they disagree with what the man does, and it could be something crazy, they're going to buy a small island in Tahiti that somebody told them about, and the woman is saying, this does not make sense, this is not realistic, I don't agree with it. She will be considered disrespectful because she doesn't agree with that. So that's I'm talking.
So
about.
I can't cover every situation.
I'm just saying there's a difference between what women see as disrespectful and what men see as disrespectful, and in each relationship that needs to be established before we start talking about women are having masculine behaviors.
I got you, but what I'm still saying is how you're expressing to the man, don't buy the island. Don't buy the island with your dumb ass, because the last time you did that, you lost our damn money. Or,
exactly.
You know, it's the presentation. It's just like
exactly.
We talked about.
Now that, I agree with that.
Exactly.
So,
that's all I was going to say is that I think it's important to know that Dr. Megan is not, you know, just speaking as a representative of another man on this call. It's not necessarily you disagreeing, but it is how you disagree that can cause that man to feel like it's disrespectful. I think most men, I don't want to generalize, but I would presume that most men want a woman that has her own opinion and that thinks and she's the yin to my yang. But again, it's about respect and about how you do it. But I don't want to skate over also what Dr. G said, that and it kind of goes back to what you kind of disagree with, Dr. Megan, about that masculinity. One of the reasons that I'm very cautious in really attacking a woman for her accomplishments or degrees is because, again, as I alluded to in the beginning, I don't know what it's like to be a woman in a male-dominated society having to fight your way upstream to be successful. And sometimes you do have to develop masculine mentalities in order to prevail, in order to ascend to the top of whatever your career field is. The challenge becomes when you take that same perspective and you bring it into a relationship with an egotistical male, or, as Dr. Megan said, somebody that I don't have the degrees, I don't have the job that I really aspire to have. I work a 9-to-5, I work for UPS, and I'm making $80,000, $90,000 a year, and you're doubling that. And there's already a small sense of insecurity in me concerning your accomplishments. It goes back to the way you make that person feel, how you present it to them. And so I just want to kind of, you know, I don't want to skate over that.
You know, I think that that's a valid point that you just made, and the one that Dr. Megan made about the word masculine. And even though I don't know of another word to describe it, for me, that's what comes to mind, is that when you're a woman, and I'm not even in a male-dominated profession. I'm in a female-dominated profession. But if you're a female and you work in, like, construction or you're an engineer, like, these are predominantly male-oriented professions. So I'm sure that in order for you to be successful just in that career, there is going to have to be a level where you are relatable to your counterparts, to your colleagues. And so relatable doesn't look like the sugar and spice and everything nice. But I know what the sugar and spice and everything nice looks like. But if I, let's say, work in construction, I might not be able to show that because that's not what my discipline allows. But when I'm in the comfort of my own home, absolutely, I can see the sugar and spice and everything nice. But I think what happens, though, is because we're talking about, in some cases, women that are single and have been single for a very long time, they're still going to be sugar and spice and everything nice at home because they're the ones taking care of themselves. They're the ones who have to deal with society. So it's really difficult to say you're being masculine or you're too masculine versus you're doing what you need to do to be successful and survive in the world that we live in. And I think oftentimes women are criticized for doing that, even though men will say, oh, I like independent women who are articulate and can take care of themselves. I'm attracted to that. But when they get with that particular woman, they say, oh, no, she's too masculine. But I don't even know if we know what you're talking about when you say that's too masculine, because we're just being who we are. We're just living our lives. So until men can become more specific about what they deem as masculine, I think as women, we're going to continue to do what we know feels comfortable. We're going to continue to do what we believe allows us to be successful, not really knowing that this is considered masculine. We're just doing what we know that works for us. So that's why earlier, Corey, when we were getting ready to give your example, I was like, specific, be specific, because we don't know what that looks like.
But
Dr. Guy,
I'll
give you an example.
Dr. G, hold on 1 second, Steve. Let me just say, give me 10 seconds, Steve, and then you got it. But it goes, Dr. G, let me say this, though, based upon what Dr. Megan said as well. You also hear those same women, depending on what faith they subscribe to say, I want a man of God. I want a man who loves the Lord and know his Bible, and he pray. Well, when a man reads his Bible and he prays, that Bible also says that he is the head of the household. So at the end of the day, no matter what type of income you bring into this house, depending on to what version of that Christianity I subscribe to, I'm the man, and I'm going to make the decisions. And that becomes a conflict. And so it's the same thing. Like, we want a woman, and what I'm talking to, Dr. G, is the point that you said, that sometimes men say they want that woman that is assertive, they want that woman that is successful, career-driven, an entrepreneur, and then we get her, and there are some attributes and some characteristics about her that may rub us the wrong way. And I think it's the same thing, again, with women who say they want a man of the cloth, a man who loves Jesus, because there's some things that we just not go tolerate based upon this book that we subscribe to.
I'll take that. I can see that.
Well,
see? What
I was going to give an example of is I went on a date some time ago, and the young lady was late. And by trade, I can program ATM machines. That's something I used to do. So there was a machine close, and so I started fidgeting with it or whatever the case may be, just to kill some time, which is not illegal. I'm not stealing any money or anything. So when she came up, we were talking about, you know, what I was doing. I was like, oh, why you were late? I was kind of messing around on the ATM machine. I was like, you know, that's what I used to do for a living. And she was like, well, I don't think you should be doing that. And I was like, well, you know, that's fine, but, you know, it's not illegal. I know I've expressed this in my business, but she went on to tell me that I should be doing it. So this is an example of someone who's highly educated in her field, but she don't know shit about what I'm talking about. Well, she's got these overbearing opinions about what I should be doing. So that's one of the examples that I'm talking about. You know, once people get educated in one thing, they try to assert it in different other areas that doesn't pertain to their area of expertise. So if here we are talking about something that I'm an expert in and you're a novice in, and you're telling me what I'm supposed to be doing, that is one of those masculine traits transcending where it should be. You know, and as I like to say sometimes, man, sometimes you just need to shut the fuck up. You know, whether it's a male or a female.
Steve, was she black?
Of course. Well, why are we doing that?
See,
come on,
okay,
man.
So the reason why I brought that up is, would it have been different if she was white?
No, she still got the X. I mean, race doesn't matter. You know, anybody can get it.
I think women of other races get more concessions from our men than we do. They get more chances.
Not with this one. Everybody get it. You disobedient, you go. You know, you kitty pass your feet down any Martin Luther King, far as I'm concerned. So, but once again, you know, she came from a background of banking and compliance. And, you know, you think about, you know, rules and whatnot, which is fine, but, you know, that wasn't her area of expertise, you know, but for her to assert herself over something she had no knowledge of just let me know that she was going to be a problem later on. So, you know how that ended up. Thank you for coming out. Good night. God bless.
Because Steve, she in her accomplishments had labeled herself as a prize, because, you know, that's what we do sometimes. And I'm going back to what Dr. Guy said about specifics. As you were talking, Steve, I'm sitting here going like, yo, anybody who follows me know I do a lot of motivational videos, and this one particular person I was dating at the time, I did a video and put some hip-hop music behind it, told me, because of what I do and my expertise and my experience, you shouldn't be motivating people from a spiritual perspective with carnal music. And in my mind, and sometimes stuff that's in my mind come out of my mouth, I was like, well, nobody asked you. First of all, I made the video. I paid for it. And nobody asked you what your opinion was. And so you could have kept that. And and the person continued on and on to it turned into an argument until that video had been shared well over 1,000 times, and the people that I actually made the video for were appreciative of the video because I knew what I was going after, but because she had never stepped into this arena, she, you know, didn't know what the hell she was talking about, but had this mentality of I know all things because, you know, I got a PhD and I got this and I got this. And so, Dr. G, you asked for specifics. Sometimes those are the specifics that can cause a man to say, yeah, I'm going to pull up off of that.
I'm good. Yeah, I'm good.
And
I'm going to let you go beat somebody else's prize.
I think that helps women better understand when men can give a specific example about what's disrespectful, what's considered disrespectful, because as you stated, two men can have the same conversation and it not be perceived as disrespectful. But if he had that conversation with a woman, then it's perceived as disrespectful. So I think it's really helpful when you talk about being in a relationship to be able to be specific about things. If you're saying this is something I don't like, then to give this very general blanket statement. But you guys, we do have a caller, so I'm going to go to the phone lines at 817. Mm-hmm. You're on the air.
Hello, guys. I love the conversation. This is Renee.
Hey, Renee.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey, hey,
hey.
What's going on? I love the way you guys are having this conversation. I really do. I feel like you and Dr. Megan are listening, which is really good. I mean, that's my thing about women is that I don't think we listen very well, but I can see that you guys are hearing from the men. I think the men are doing a really good job at explaining what it looks like on their side, you know, and you guys didn't necessarily agree, but you're really looking for that understanding, and I just think it's a beautiful conversation. I also agree with Steve and Corey about the behaviors of a woman does change. I think you've done a really good job, Dr. Guy, at expressing the things that we have to go through as women and more specifically black women, you know, when we are pursuing that degree, especially that PhD. I won't even go into detail about that, but it's a journey, and I do think you come out quite different. However, I wish we could find another word for instead of masculine, because I don't necessarily agree with that word. And I heard you say that, and I heard Dr. Megan say it, and I also agree. But then I also hear a lot of what Corey's saying, and Steve, and I just feel like it's so subjective. And I get it. I get what they're saying. That's what it feels like. That's how they're experiencing it. But I guess maybe we need more conversation so we can really try to figure out, like, what's a good word for that? Because I don't really feel like masculine for myself and for what you explained. I didn't really see that kind of fitting into the category of being a masculine woman.
Well, Renee, I would say logical, but logical doesn't mm-hmm. work because there's a masculine concept of you're going to listen to me and I'm going to chase you down. Like, there's an aggression with it that supersedes just plain logic. So that's why I have to use the word masculine.
And the aggressiveness, I guess, you know, definitely fits under the definition of masculine.
Right. So.
And I get that. I don't know. I wish there was just another word because I've been there exactly what Dr. Guy explained, really just kind of being proud of yourself, you know, and maybe that does come off in a certain way. I just think that because marriage itself has changed so much, roles have changed so much in the last 10 years, that there are different behaviors. And I think we'll continue to see different behaviors. I see them in my office, like the women have different behaviors. I'm sure from people that was doing therapy 30 years ago, what we see now, Dr. Megan, Dr. Guy, I'm quite sure we're seeing something totally different as it relates to the dynamic between the man and the woman. Like, we're working with something totally different. And I'm just not ready to call that masculine, though, just yet.
Well, what about mama mentality?
What
do you call it, Steve?
The mama mentality, is that what it is? Does that sound better?
No, I think what it is that I think that the roles are changing drastically. and I said it on the wind down, and Steve gave me an ugly look, but I'm going to say it again. I think that as we become healthier, because I think we're doing a good job thus far, but I think as we get healthier and we can have these conversations like this, and this is kind of what my definition of healthy looks like, the conversation that you guys are having. There's no yelling. There's no screaming. I mean, you guys are listening to what the guys are saying. Of course, again, it's not you're in full agreement, but you're having a conversation to try to get to some understanding. I feel like as the roles shift and as marriage looks different, we have to keep having these conversations, because a lot of everything actually that you guys are talking about is subjective, and it's going to really kind of depend on those two people, because you guys talked about respect and disrespect, but again, that's going to be subjective, and I think that it was clear in the example that you gave, Steve, that it really, or who someone was talking about going or getting a house or something in another country or something, I can't remember what it was, but I think that that's going to be very subjective, and I think that we have to, I don't know, have conversation about that, but I feel like we won't be able to have that conversation until we are truly healthy enough to be able to hear from each other like you guys are doing tonight. And so then when it comes to having these conversations, then it sounds different, and then we can kind of come out with something.
I think Steve and I are correct. I don't think Steve and I have missed a step on this call. We've been accurate in everything that we've said. That's usually what happens when Steve and I get on the call. We just, you know, we're right. And I'm not saying they're wrong, but I'm not saying that they're right. That's all I say.
You know what?
Well,
I'm going to go
Renee.
Online, because if I let you keep on talking, then, you know, Dr. Love of the Universe is going to come out. And so I'm going to just cap that.
That's right.
And go online. Renee, stay there. Let's see. Caller at 917. You're on the air. Hello.
Yeah, this is Chicago, and I'm enjoying the discussion. I didn't get a chance to hear the entire show, but I think I got probably like 15, maybe 20 minutes into it. So it's been pretty good.
Okay.
I just wanted to kind of throw like a quick opinion in there. I can relate to a lot that's going on from the definitely from the perspective of being in a relationship with somebody who in the past who had like a metamorphosis as she elevated academically, and there was for me it definitely had nothing to do with intimidation, because when she I always used this what I was caused to reflect on after marriage was that. So when she met me, I was pretty much a kid. I was, for, you know, 20. I just came into my 20s, but I was a different breed of a 20 plus guy. I was, you know, fresh out of high school. I had already, you know, been a homeowner already at 20. I had already owned property. I had already, you know, been running my own businesses. From the ground up, I just wasn't, you know, a college educated person. I actually had dropped out of college. And so I went through that whole kind of process, stepping back and celebrating, you know, my woman, so to speak, my partner, through her process from bachelor's all the way to PhD. And it was like that transition from professional. Well, but this is my opinion, because I don't want to be too wordy. I'm Nigerian and American. I grew up in the whole American experience. So, like, pretty much I'm American from a development standpoint. But since I've been allowed to travel and things of that nature, what I've noticed is that from a culture standpoint in the U.S., we're so selfish-oriented because of oppression and those who have shaped and molded the culture. Those who control this culture in the U.S. and you know, some abroad, we know the whole colonialism component. But then when you step outside, and particularly when you go home, and I'm talking about Africa, you notice the family structure and things of that nature are a lot similar to when we first arrived. And you look at the Renaissance in our history and kind of how family was developed. Sometimes we focus so much on what we didn't have, and we don't look at the black excellence that was demonstrated from the collectivism, the cooperation, and how we kind of thrived a lot more in the midst of slavery and coming out of slavery, things of that nature, how we were so, we deal so much with, so much better with families and things of that nature then, and you fast forward to now, and we have established ourselves, people are more successful in their academics and so on, yet the family structure is so horrible now in comparison if you look at the past and present. So I say that you look over across the globe, it's a totally different dynamic. There's stronger family base. There's more tradition. There's more in tune with our culture. And there's definitely more of a sense of black love, I would say. And I feel like here in the U.S., that black love is, we're taught, in my opinion, if, no matter where you look, social media and so on, you hear more arguments about black men ain't this, black women ain't that. And that seems to be become more normalized and amplified as time goes on, in my personal opinion. And I'm just kind of going to get like you guys input on that and step back. That was pretty much my comment.
Oh, well, now, let me ask you this real quick. Do you your pocket of Africa, is it where the male is leading the family or the mother? Is it more patriarchal or matriarchal?
So
talk about the ancestry and the history.
I've seen both. I've seen historically, I've seen both. I've seen, you know, where women have led, and you have like a lot of women leadership, and then I've seen, you know, where the men lead too. So for me, especially from my American side, I grew up with women, so I have an affinity for black women, of course, because I've watched strong women from day one. That's all, you know. That's what I saw. I saw way more women than men.
Right.
Growing up, so I see that. You know what I mean? I see that side, and so I say that to say that I don't have an issue with, like, you know, the hybrid of today, but what I do notice is in the U.S. there's, like I said, there's this selfishness that we have here, and I've noticed the difference versus, like, it's more. If you look at like families from different cultures, you notice it's more family connectivity. Usually more families outside of the U.S., they do everything collectively, right? And then you just so happen to see more men leading, no matter what the financial situation is. And I've always used this as an example, specifically in the U.S., at the end of the day, the old white men are leading that tribe, right? At the end of the day, no matter how much they dog and demonize people. And I keep telling people, you know, that black men today in the U.S. are basically blamed for the sins of old white men often, in my personal opinion. Like, we get, you know, from the demonizing to the, you know, sexism to all that feminist stuff and all that stuff is a lot of, that argument is a big battle between white men and white women. If you look at history, just U.S. history, you watch it, you see how, you know, white women say, hey, black women, come over every year and help us do feminism. And black women was doing their own thing. They were like, we good. And then it's like, oh, okay, come on over here. And they're like, yeah, I think we are doing bad. And it was like the white men and women had to convince some women that, you know, not saying that everything was perfect. What I'm saying is that sometimes other people can bring you into their war and then convince you, and then you assimilate, and then now you're fighting for somebody else's cause that has nothing to do with you. And so in the U.S., I feel like that's oftentimes I see that, and I see, you know, basically the desecration of the black family over and over again. Here, then I go home, and it's totally different. And I see people running away from the U.S. that are born here, and then they're going there, and then their families are getting chances to heal their relationships. So that's what I've been noticing, and I'm looking at it in large volumes.
Well, thank you again for that comment. And you are right that here in America, we have an individualistic society that is led by the dominant culture. If we were looking at it from a culture perspective, and when you look outside of the United States, in particular with minority cultures, that they are more family-oriented. There's the idea behind collectivism. And so maybe part of this idea that we're talking about, the prize, it's an American concept because it focuses on the individual. So you see yourself as the most important, or you see yourself as having such a huge sense of worth, because that's how we are taught in America to focus on the individual. So I do thank you for your comment. And you guys, we are going to go ahead and wrap up. So I would like to get your final thoughts. Dr. Meekin, I'm going to go to you first and find out what would you like our listeners to walk away with today as it relates to our topic, men or women being the prize in a relationship.
Like everybody to walk away with the idea that they both are the prize, and if both people work at being 100% in the relationship, then it doesn't matter who makes more. It doesn't matter who has all the titles. It just comes down to them loving each other the way that they need to be loved.
Oh, absolutely. And Corey, Love Doctor of the Universe, final thought.
Yeah, so it is I just looked at my face and I've got a rash on my face because I have to agree with Dr. Meekin. It's very uncomfortable, but I'm going to have to go get me some type of rash cream here in a second. But as she was speaking, she took my very thought. I wanted to share, you know, about 5 years ago, I put my son's bed together, and it took me about 2 hours to put it together. And I realized when I put it together that I was missing a piece. And I had to make a decision, Dr. Guy, at that point. Did I just kind of say, okay, well, I've already put this bed together and I'm just going to let him sleep in it in the way that I put it together? Or was I going to take the time to tear it down and put it back together the way it needs to be? And my final thought is in that vein that sometimes we have to tear down the things that have been built in our psyche over the years. I'm the prize, I'm all of that, I'm this. And as Dr. Meekin said, we've got to rebuild this bed or rebuild this house, realizing that it is not a competition. We don't have to assimilate to what some would consider to be the white man's ploy to destroy the black man. And the easiest way to destroy the black culture is to have us fighting amongst one another. And so I agree. And of course, what I did is I took the time to put the bed back together the way it was supposed to be so that he could sleep safely. And if we will do the work and tear the bed down and tear this thought process down and rebuild it, I think that many of our families could sleep safer and that relationships will be a little bit easier. And as Dr. Renee loves to harp on, we would be more healthier, whatever the hell that looks like.
All right. Thanks, Corey. Fatima, what are your closing thoughts?
My closing thought is to go back to what I said earlier. It's not what you say, but how you say it. I think anyone, male or female, who has worked hard to achieve something and attain some goal or dream, you absolutely have a right to celebrate yourself and invite others to celebrate you as well. I think that you just need to be careful about what that celebration looks like. The tragic flaw of many a protagonist is hubris. And I think if we're talking about, and if for those who may not be aware of what hubris is, it's an excessiveness of pride or self-confidence. It's the arrogance that we've been talking about. And in general, people aren't attracted to that because people tend to lean toward what's good and what's fair. There was a doll test done with small children and having them watch dolls act out different scenarios where there was always like a bad guy or someone who was cheating or someone who was being unfair. And every single child, no matter how young they were, they all disliked the doll who they deemed the bad doll, the doll who was being rude, the doll who was cheating, the doll who was being unfair. So innately, people aren't drawn to those types of characteristics. So my closing statement is, be mindful of your words, be mindful of your delivery, celebrate your achievements, but do it in a way that invites people to celebrate with you, not to shy away from you.
Thank you. And Steve, final thoughts.
Man, I don't even know where to start, man. That was real eloquent. I was getting like a tear to my eye, you know, with Corey and his rash, and when they started all off. But, you know, I got to be me, and I got to totally disagree. Let me tell you what's going on right here. Now, what you said is wonderful, and if I was eight and you need to make sure I felt special when I was in the house, but when you go out in the real world with the lions and the tigers and the bears, oh, my, you need to look at the numbers. If you're a woman in Atlanta, man, go to Illinois someplace. You got to look at the numbers. You know, you need to know what you're up against. It may not be you. You need to go where you're treated best. So you need to look at those factors which are surrounding you. If you're in an area where there are a lot of women and not a lot of guys, then you need to find yourself in a location where there are a few women and a lot of guys. You know, you need to examine your dating habits. Go where you're treated best. Get online. Talk to somebody in Poland or Uganda or Nigeria, because Nigeria seems like it's popping, according to what Chi-Town said. So you need to look at all of those things. Go where you're treated best. Like Fatima said, watch your mouth. and have a lot of hubris, because I thought she said hummus at first, because I got confused. I'm glad she straightened it out for me, because I didn't know what food had to do with what we were talking about, because you know, I don't have that large vocabulary that she has, you know. But ultimately, that's what you need to do. Yeah, she said hubris. I thought she said hummus. I didn't know this was a Jewish thing. So, you know, but look at the numbers. That's where it all starts at. Look at your location, how far you're willing to travel, what that looks like. Are you going to date over the phone? You know, you're going to FaceTime. You know, you're going to do your OnlyFans thing. You're going to do your OkCupid thing. You're going to do your Match.com. All of these are tools that need to be in your tool belt. You can't date like your grandma did, because her grandpa went to a church, so she ain't never tried to really holler at nobody that was out of 15-mile radius anyway. So that's just me. There you go, Dr. Guy.
Oh, my goodness. I don't – you know what? I'm going to stop letting you speak at the end of the show. So I just want to say that I so appreciate both guests today, Dr. Megan, Corey Love, Doctor of the Universe. We had a really interesting discussion as it related to a particular article that we read. And I think what came out for me listening to everyone speak was the wording, semantics, because when we talk about the prize, I don't care who you are, male or female, I think you should believe that you are the prize. Does that mean that I think you should have arrogance? Absolutely not. But I do also support the fact that saying the prize implies that you are the only one. So I do agree with Fatima in saying that you are a prize, because if you are a prize, that means you're going to be a prize for someone, not necessarily a prize for everyone. And I think that's most important. And so if you're in a relationship, the prize, as Steve has always said, is the relationship itself. It's not her. It's not him. It is having the healthy relationship with two working, healthy people who are invested in moving their relationship further. So with that being said, you guys, as always, don't forget to Facebook it, tweet it, pass it on. Tell a friend about Dr. Guy's Gumbo Talk every Sunday at 4 p.m. Central. And continue to stay in, you guys. And if you have to leave, be safe. Everyone have a blessed week, and make sure you tune in next Sunday. Bye-bye. See you guys.
Bye-bye. Are you adios. Men and women who need femininity courses?
Just so you know, I am the prize.
You are the prize. I'm just saying there are femininity courses out there for those masculine women.
Hey, Steve, we need to some of them up.
No, I'm saying really? There's a counselor, I believe, in Dallas that does femininity courses. Yeah. We talked about that.
She does. She does.
Are
there courses for men?
We don't need courses.
I wouldn't.
Yes,
yeah,
you do. They need them for men. If a man that does them. That's not y'all.
I'm not of the ilk of taking a masculinity class. I'm just recommending the femininity class for the hyena pack.
No, we out.